herzlich willkommen, verehrte Zuschauer, hier auf der Gamescom in Halle 10.1 und natürlich alle, die auch vor euren Monitoren oder Fernsehern sitzen. Wir haben jetzt ein ganz, ganz großes Thema, das wahrscheinlich größte Thema, das man im Ego-Shooter-Bereich haben kann, und zwar Call of Duty. Es gibt kein größeres Franchise auf dieser Welt im Ego-Shooter-Bereich. Und deswegen darf ich jetzt hier auch zwei Gäste begrüßen. Sie waren auch bei der Opening Night Live zu sehen. Denn da gab es natürlich von Call of Duty auch was Neues zu sehen in der großen Opening Night Live Show. Hallo und herzlich willkommen an Natalie und Miles. Schön, dass ihr da seid. Wonderful to have you guys here. Thank you for being here on stage.
Very excited.
Yeah, round of applause. Oh.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
So, Miles and Natalie, how has Gamescom been going for you guys so far?
Oh my God. What a great energy.
Yeah, so even positive. From
opening night live.
Yeah. It's really exciting to walk around and want to see all the games, but the reception of the game and everything has been so positive. And it's really energizing for us and the studios and everyone back home too to see it is like, let's go.
How was it being on that big stage at Opening Night Live?
It was a lot of fun.
Oh my God. Yeah. Electric.
Yeah, it was.
Great.
It was really cool. The hardest part was the walk. You know,
oh
so
my
to
God.
Make sure when you're walking out.
It's like there's stairs.
Well, I wanted to dance. So I was like, don't do that. Just walk.
Don't do that. Just walk. Just get there. Don't trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything's got to be done.
Yeah, don't mess up.
Don't mess up.
I mean, so both of you guys, you work at Treyarch and at Raven Software.
That's right.
So how do I have to imagine, does this collaboration work? How do you work together? Who's responsible for what?
Yeah. Yeah, we've worked together for a long time, really closely. So we've built a good bond over the years. And then we've been introducing other studios to the mix as well. So I think when it comes to Black Ops, we've really figured out a good recipe.
Yeah.
And especially speaking from the production side, just takes a lot of planning and collaboration. And we really enjoy just like feeding off of each other's ideas, building on each other's tech advancements, all of that stuff.
She nailed it. Like it's been a close collaboration, but that's actually the strength of it is you have so many different types of developers helping work on it that helps represent the players, right? Different ways to play, different thinking, and that helps in when we're playtesting and iterating to make a better Black Ops.
So Call of Duty is such a huge franchise. There have been so many Call of Duty games. How do you keep something like Call of Duty fresh? I mean, where do you start and do you always start from scratch or do you build upon different games?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
I was going to say,
well, with Black Ops 7 as an example, you know, we started Black Ops 6 and Black Ops 7 together. We knew we wanted each to have a unique identity, but something that we love to do, especially in Black Ops, is plant seeds and kind of build upon a lot of the lore that we've been building over the years. It's really exciting to us. Of course, introducing new ways for new players to get interested in the story. But I think a lot of it stems from choosing the era and choosing the characters that we want to tell that story. So, you know, with Black Ops 7, we're in 2035, and our story features David Mason. So we want to dig into his background. It makes sense. We last saw him in Black Ops 2, 2025. Now we're 10 years later. That's such an interesting like chunk of time to dig into what has happened. What's the fallout since we saw him in Black Ops 2?
Yeah.
So we're just watching the trailer now and Milo Ventimiglia, he's in the game.
That's right.
But you also have some other actors in there. Can you tell us a bit about them and their roles in the game?
Yeah,
absolutely. So we also have Emma Kagan, who you're seeing here, played by Kiernan Shipka. And so she is the CEO of the Guild, which is this big tech force that's been in Avalon for a long time. And they have ideas on how they want to face this imminent threat, right? So we wanted somebody who could be charismatic from that, you know, outward-facing point of view, but also very pointed, very sharp. She has a background in computational economics and robotics to tell that story, and we thought Kiernan was a great fit. We also have some returning actors. So we got Michael Rooker back playing Mike Harper.
He's awesome.
So much fun, and he loves to, like, interject these one-liners that, you know, we try to retain the energy as much as we can.
Yeah.
And he's a good balance with Eric Samuels, also returning, played by John Eric Bentley. They've got a great chemistry. And then rounding out the team is newcomer Leilani Sopola, played by Frankie Adams, who is also just her sarcasm, her badassery.
Yeah.
Like, she's, again, just a great fit to round out that team. And that's the story is so focused on that team balance and mentality. And so we really wanted to nail those characters for sure.
Yeah, and the first day we had them all on set was really the whole squad together.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and David Mason, played by Milo, he came in and he was already David Mason. He was like, all right, well, here's what we got to do. And we were like, oh, my God.
He was in character the whole time.
It was perfect. And then...
just method acting the whole way.
Basically, we went through a scene and it was the whole squad. It's like they had already been together.
Okay.
And it was last one we knew it was going to work. And Leilani, Frankie Adams was like... it's like she already fit in Black Ops. We were like, were you in a game we didn't know about? It just made sense that you were in the game.
So you just mentioned the whole squad and everything. You mentioned the different actors like Michael Rooker and Milo. And that's one of the big features, the co-op.
Oh, yeah.
How do I have to imagine this works? Because, you know, what if I don't play co-op? How does it look in the story? Are the other characters still part of that story?
Oh, yeah.
And what if I do play co-op only with, like, maybe two people total?
Yeah.
Does that change anything in how they are portrayed in the cutscenes or
no? So when we set out, we wanted to make a co-op campaign because it really ties to the story and each of the characters. But you can play solo, so all the players out there, if you're worried, don't worry, you can play solo and you're gonna still get the amazing roller coaster spectacle blockbuster story. Nothing changes. All four characters are still there, you know, with you in the story and all the cinematics, talking to you. But now we have the benefit is you can play up to four players, so 2, 3, 4, and go through the story. And again, it's that same story. And it was really important for us is it really, when we talk about the squad, we wanted to put players into that squad. And the best way to do that was to do co-op. So each player can feel like they are part of the squad. And you're really experiencing the story like the actual squad themselves. So it was really special to put co-op in and experience that.
Yeah, and it's not, it goes beyond just campaign, right? Yep. So you can jump in if you're going in with a squad of four. You can move around to the other modes together as well. We really dug into connectivity. So again, you can continue that social experience and say you want to set down the story for a little bit. Yeah. You can move into MP. You can move into zombies. Again, just maintaining that squad.
So tell us some about the places that we're going to visit in the game. Because, of course, you've showcased a little bit of it. Yeah. Can you maybe go in depth about one or two of them?
Yeah. So I think one of the big places we've gone that we've never gone in Black Ops is Japan. And so we're diving into that region. It's a big one for the co-op campaign and multiplayer maps. And it's amazing. We wanted it to be authentic, right, to that location, but also make sure it fit into the story. And you're going to experience it in some really interesting ways, right? The neon lights, running on the rooftops, seeing the buildings, and really the contrast of the old world and the new world, 2035 mixed together, was super interesting. And then some really interesting gameplay mechanics you saw in the trailer, like jumping off of billboards in Tokyo. I mean, that's a badass Black Ops moment. I think another one is Avalon, right? We seeded Avalon, Natalie touched on this, in Black Ops 6, and now you get to further explore it even more. It's a Mediterranean coast. Through the co-op campaign, you're going to get these linear missions, so you get a taste of Avalon, very unique. And then when you get to Endgame, our brand new sort of way where we're breaking the rules of the campaign after, all of Avalon opens up.
Yeah. So the game also showcased some very crazy ideas and concepts.
Just a few.
Like huge swords crashing into flying islands and twisted highways in the sky. I mean, how does that fit into the whole story? And are you maybe worried a bit that this might alienate old school Call of Duty fans because it is so far out there?
We still feel it's very connected to the Black Ops identity. So we're always pushing the envelope. We want to go places that maybe players haven't gone before. And so one of the areas, again, with Black Ops 7, that really made sense for the stories that we was telling was how do we visualize and experience as players this individual experience that David's going through? Each of the team members is going through their own fears and their own regrets. And one of the ways that they all remain connected and that kind of grounds the story is we're in 2035, so they have what we call a C-Link, and that's how they communicate. That's how they're experiencing some of these crazy things together.
Yeah.
So there's a psychological element to it, but it's also very grounded within the world and within the tech. And so we love having fun with it. We want to take you to interesting locations. And then again, maybe some familiar places as well.
Yeah, and for us, your question is there's always that fine balance, and we never want to push it too far. And it feels really grounded in this near future. But also, Black Ops has always done the unexpected. You go back to Black Ops 1. I've worked on every single Black Ops game, and we're always finding new ways to challenge ourselves and really challenge the player on what they expect. Black Ops 7 does that. And all of that mind-bending, that's our wheelhouse. And I think we were getting excited because it just made sense. And I think the reception from the trailer is it just makes a little bit of sense. Yeah. It'll make more sense when you get into the game for reasons.
Okay. Also, in the game, you showcase there's special abilities like a super jump and turning yourself invisible and stuff. How do these special abilities work? How do I obtain them? Are they tied to a specific character? Like only Milo maybe can do one of the abilities. Question. How does that work?
Yeah, good question. So I'll tell you on the co-op campaign. So we're giving you a loadout in the mission. We wanted to handcraft those loadouts from the start. And then you get these abilities. And we wanted to lean into the technology of 2035. So you see that active camo. And it's on a cooldown. So you can use it. But the cool thing is in co-op, is this mixture of different abilities that you can get, is it starts to add some strategy. So we also have like a deployable tactical shield, like an energy shield. And then you get into some really interesting, I'm gonna use active camo and try to stealth, you use the jump or you use the shield, and you get some interesting interplay from it. But each mission will really give you a different ability. And we're kind of teaching you how to use these abilities. And it all leads to endgame where now you get to choose which abilities you want. And that really opens up the fun on it.
Of course, Call of Duty is known for the action set pieces and, you know, explosions and everything. But also, some of the best games in the series also had some very quiet moments. Mm-hmm. Do you have something like that in the game as well, where maybe we take a little breather from all the action and go a little bit of a different route?
Absolutely. Yeah. And again, I think it goes back to the character journeys. Mm-hmm. So they have these moments in between where they're getting pulled away or maybe moving to another location, you know, in the real world or within Avalon, where they're, again, grappling with what's happening, trying to figure out what's real. And a lot of that happens through that team dynamic of sort of like trying to share these experiences and process what's going on.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about multiplayer, because, I mean, that is a big part of Call of Duty.
A little bit.
To be honest about it. So what do you think is like the biggest change or like the newest feature in the multiplayer that changes things up a bit?
Well, I'm going to cheat and say a few things.
Please go ahead.
Yeah, but for us, it was really exciting because going to 2035 allowed us to really put in the hands of players is be immersed in that fantasy of this near future, because now we can put in all the technology, the weapons, right? The different field upgrades, the equipment, to all of these different things that we can put in the player's hands was really exciting. Really interesting score streaks, as, again, leaning on the technology. It really embodies that. But on top of that, we've got a lot of new systems. One is the overclocks. A big part of the game for us is we wanted to personalize players how their play style. We wanted to give them more options so they can play how they want to play. And so for the first time, you can customize field upgrades and equipment and score streaks.
But how does the overclock system work? How do I get to that and
so you unlock
reach that
it.
Point?
Yeah, so you unlock it through no more progression, and then you get basically an overclock for a piece of equipment or a field upgrade, and then you can go and change it. And that was exciting because when we're playtesting, you get into really fun arguments on which overclock are you using and I'm using. And that's when we know we're mixing something because players are, you know, the devs are discussing which is the best. And that's exciting. But on top of that, we've also pushed Omni movement and a lot of the movement. We now have wall jump. And part of that, we really wanted to refocus the combat. We have experience in Black Ops 3 with advanced movement, of course. And we wanted to make sure it stayed in frame.
Yeah.
And it was never frustrating for, one, the player using it while jumping, but also on the receiving end of it. It always had to felt fair. You never want to get killed and, I shouldn't have, you know. It should be more of, oh, they got me, right? Like, I could understand how I got killed. We've taken a lot of care to do that with refocusing the movement and overall combat, I would say, sort of symphony.
Okay. So we've talked about the overclock system, score streaks. You're also changing up something with the score streaks. Can you maybe go a little bit into depth about that, how they are different from Black Ops 6?
Oh, yeah. Well, the overclock spills into that. So that's a huge part of it, right, is you get the overclocks on it. But the other part is we're leaning into the technology. So to name a few, is we have this thing called a Rhino. It was in one of the trailers. You saw this ginormous robot that gets dropped from the sky, and you get to deploy it, and then you get to control this ginormous robot that has a gun attached to its arm, and it just, it's mayhem, right? That could only be done in 2035 Black Ops 7, and it just felt right. The other is the VTOL warship, which you saw, again, coming into the map in this very cinematic way. That one is bombastic. You either better get inside, or you better have a launcher. Yeah. It's coming for you.
From a technical standpoint, you showcased also that, you know, you have terrain deformation, especially when it comes to snow. How do I have to imagine that works? Is that throughout the whole match, or does, you know, sometimes you shoot at a wall and the marks, they sort of disappear after some time? How does it work with the snow? Is it the deformation throughout the whole match or only for a particular amount of time?
Yeah, it was important for us coming to this because we had snow biome. That was important for us to differentiate the maps. And I think we showed some of this, but we've got one map that's got the snow and it's high snow. And it was really important that you could feel like you're immersed in it so you can deform it. And it happens throughout the match. And so there's a gameplay element to it, right? That you can see where people have been, but it also makes you feel like you're actually in the snow as well, which is awesome.
You've announced that there will be 16 multiplayer maps. Yeah. How many of them are really new and how many of them are like old favorites?
Yeah, so there's 13 brand new maps and then there's 3 classic maps that we just had to bring back because, so since we're following Black Ops 2 in the timeline of the game in this era of 2035, we really wanted to see which classic maps we wanted to bring back, but which ones rounded out the portfolio of maps as well. Each of the original maps leans into all those locations we talked about. Some are mind-bending, some are leaving into that future. And so we wanted to see which of the classics. So we're bringing back Express, we're bringing back Raid and Hijacked, each with their own different distinct personality. But now they're all in Japan.
Okay.
They look absolutely amazing. But then on top of that, we've been playtesting them with wall jump and all the different mechanics. And so for those that want to explore, there might be some new ways to play those as well in Black Ops 7.
You said Black Ops 2, and you've mentioned Black Ops 6, and this is sort of a continuation. But for the people that maybe haven't played 2 or 6, is there any kind of intro to get them caught up on everything that has happened? Or how does it work for someone who's completely new to the series that they feel, you know, integrated and they feel like they didn't miss out on anything or that they're not getting all the information?
Yeah,
absolutely. I think one of the best ways we do this, you see some of it in the reveal trailer. There's a scene with Troy Marshall, who's a returning character from Black Ops 6. Obviously, we're seeing him much older, further into the future. And he is setting up David for this mission that he's about to go on. And this is where we establish a lot of that history. And then throughout the story, again, it's puzzle pieces to these memories and past experiences. And we're really hoping that obviously the returning Black Ops fans get excited about, oh, okay, I kind of see where we're going. And then new players are like, oh, I want to know more about Mike Harper. I want to know more about David Mason. And maybe they'll go back, you know, and return to Black Ops 1 and 2.
Yeah, we took really great care to make sure that if you don't know anything, you go in and you understand the story, right? There's no homework required on it. But if you're a returning fan, like Natalie's saying, you're going to be like, oh shit, is that, is that, oh my, and then, you know, and then it starts to build out. So we took really great care. I think if you know anything about Black Ops, we were finding the right ways to do that.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty awesome payoffs. Saw some sneaky peeks in the trailer. Alex Mason, some other stuff. We'll see.
Also, zombie mode, of course, is a big thing. And something that was seen a little bit was like a top-down view of zombie mode.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that a little bit, what that is all about?
Yeah, so that is called Dead Ops Arcade. It's Dead Ops Arcade 4, actually. We've done this in previous installments. And, you know, Natalie touched on this is like a big part of the game was this connectivity is now you and your squad can literally go anywhere. And it felt like the right time to bring DOA back again. And the team's actually absolutely bonkers because we have so many different ways to play already that they were like, why not one more? Let's just do one more. And so DOA is a top-down twin-stick shooter. It's really fun. It's really casual. You dive in. And the beauty of it is you could play DOA. And then when you're like, you know, Felix, I'm a little tired of that. Let's go to co-op campaign. Okay, I'm tired of that. Let's go to MP. Okay, you could do that. Let's go to endgame. Okay, we could do that. That's the beauty of this connected game.
Tell us a bit about the end game.
Yeah.
Because you're also doing something new where after we finish the single player campaign, there's like a new style of end game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is sort of an extension or an epilogue is what we're calling it to the co-op campaign.
Yeah.
So throughout the campaign, again, this linear story, you're going to get an ending, absolutely. But throughout, you've been gaining this experience. You've been learning about the gadgets, the equipment. And now the world is going to open up and you're going to enter into this PvE 32-player experience. So you're playing with squads of four and you're going in. You can choose your operator if you'd like. And the goal is to really survive. Yeah. And we've got difficulty zones. It's not going to be super easy.
No, you're
gonna
have to very hard. It's very hard.
Yeah. But yeah, this is, we're calling it the final proving ground. You're putting everything to the test. And also, we got so excited playing the campaign. Yeah. We didn't want to leave yet, you know, and we weren't ready to leave Avalon. So we wanted to give players this opportunity to continue in that space, also while leveling up their operator.
Yeah, I mean, you know us, we're always changing it up, and co-op campaign was one innovation, so why not another?
Okay. One thing you've mentioned Avalon a lot. Do I have to imagine this like as like a hub in the game, or is it a separate level?
No, good question. Yeah, so you'll, in the linear co-op campaign, you'll visit Avalon a few times, but it's a linear mission, and that's really a taste of it, where you're getting to see what's happened to Avalon. And then the exciting thing in Endgame is the entire map opens up, and it's huge, it's distinct. There's a lot of different gameplay, but there's also narrative tied to it as well that you can explore in the map and find as well that furthers that story from the campaign in interesting ways.
So also this year, there's a new Battlefield coming out. And I mean, it's a new Battlefield and a Call of Duty coming out. Does that in any case worry you that maybe that might smaller the success of Call of Duty, or that might impact the success of Call of Duty?
I think for us is we're always focused on our own, you know, like here at the Sui, we've been working on Black Ops 7 for a long time, right? And for us, it's maintain the vision. If we're having fun in the studio, then we know that players are going to have fun. So, you know, the FPS genre is huge. There's lots of ways to have fun. We're going to focus on our craft and deliver what we think the fans expect and are going to have tons of fun.
That sounds pretty good. So when will the game be out?
November 14th.
November 14th.
Where do we go after Black Ops 7?
Can't tell you yet.
Can't tell us. Yeah. Oh man, you almost.
We're out of time. I wish I could.
Oh, we're out of time. You know. Okay. Ja, liebe Leute, im November ist es soweit. Dann kommt das neue Call of Duty auf den Markt. Call of Duty Black Ops 7. Es wird super crazy. Man hat es ja gesehen schon in den Trailern. Mit riesigen Schwertern, die runterkrachen. Das wird sicherlich ein sehr, sehr abgefahrenes psychologisches Spiel. Und dann natürlich der Multiplayer-Modus, wo man ein Auge drauf haben wirft. Ich persönlich bin ja ein Fan des Zombie-Modus. Da freue ich mich dann drauf. Das werde ich mir anschauen. Aber das waren auf jeden Fall Miles und Natalie. Ein kleiner Runde Applaus für die beiden. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate that.